How are you going to maintain this long-term relationship? Relationships are lasting longer because we're lasting longer. People are much older. Nobody really intended relationships to last this long because people died at age 30, maybe earlier than that. So this is an experiment in some ways. How are you going to do it? A lot of people think of their relationships from courtship, and they want to go back to the time of courtship, and that's always a mistake because courtship, like I said, is a different animal. There's no going back to that. You're not the same people in courtship. You're not even really yourselves in courtship. So why go back to that? But a lot of people are really enamored by the idea of being attracted to their partner. They're attracted physically, or they have so much in common. We really love the same things, or we think the same things. We have the same attitudes. And you have to ask yourself, how long is that going to last? It's not going to last very long. That phenomena is short-lived at best, because even if people didn't change their minds will be changed for them in time because of illnesses, financial losses, children, other things that just sort of change people, that change everything. So attraction is going to be gone at some point because we start to look older and we're not as attractive. At least our bodies are not as attractive for most of us as we get older. So what are we going to do about that? How long is it going to be that we're going to be thinking the same thing? How long is it going to take for us to disagree about things or to not want to do something at the same time? Gee, in courtship, we wanted to do this always, but now I'm not in the mood. I don't want to do that. The chances of us agreeing on doing the same thing or wanting to do the same thing at the same time are almost nil later on. But a lot of people base their relationship on these things and then become grossly disappointed and then want to get out. There has to be something else that holds us together. And that goes to the question of, why are you together anyway? Why should you be together? What's the point of your relationship? What do you both serve? That's what your vows should have been like, but nobody really thinks about their vows. Many people just get them off of the internet, and they don't even remember them anyway. But your vows really should be your agreements, the rules of engagement, your laws, your constitution. What culture are you forming together? What do you do for each other that you couldn't hire somebody else to do? Because that's really important. A lot of things that people do in partnership, they could hire someone to do those things. So it's got to be something more than that. You got to be doing something for each other that really nobody wants to do, even if they're paid for it. And that is, at least I hope you're starting to see, that you're good caregivers of each other, that you have each other's owner's manual, that you know exactly what the other person is doing and why, that you can guess where they're going to go next, that you know what hurts that person, what knocks them to their knees, and what you can do to pick them up, that you know what to say to make your partner feel absolutely positively loved and secure. And you don't dilly-dally around. You know how to do that very quickly. That both of you don't leave each other in distress for longer than is necessary, which is should be a very short time. That you get each other in and out of distress very quickly. That you protect each other from other people and yourselves, because you could be dangerous yourself. You do these things because the world outside doesn't really care so much about you. Your friends do care about you, but they have their lives as well. Who's going to care about where you are at any given time? Who's going to care about your mind? Who's going to be tracking you over time? Your partner, the one you chose. And so here, when we think about a principle-based relationship, a two-person system that is really grounded in true mutuality, this has to be good for me and you. Whatever we do is good for me and you. This enriched, secure environment that's based on an agreement that we keep it so, that's basically the idea of fidelity. Fidelity is often just thought of just as monogamy or, you know, affairs, cheating. But fidelity should be thought of as a much bigger issue here. Fidelity to a set of principles that we both believe in, that we both agree on, that we both agree are good for both of us. And we abide by these principles when we don't feel like it. That's the point. That's the whole idea of having agreements. It's for the times when we don't feel like doing this or that. So I'll ask many people who say they're monogamous, and I'll ask, well, why? Why are you monogamous? And if they can't answer that well, I know they're not going to do very well in that area. Because we only do things that maybe are not totally natural to do, because monogamy is not a natural thing for human beings. We only do those things because we believe they're good. They're good not only for me, but they're good for you. They're good for us. And so when it comes time to enforcing these ideas, all we have to say to each other is, I thought that's what we do, or I thought we agreed that's what we don't do. And if we really have bought into those things, we can just say, oops, you're right. Sorry about that.